Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Titan Company Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. C.K. Venkataraman, Managing Director from Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, welcome to all of you listening in. I'm Venkat here from Bangalore, and with me are Ravi, Ronnie, Subbu, and Nandu that you know, all of you know very well. And also joining me is Ajoy Chawla, the new Chief Executive Officer of the Jewelry Division of Titan Company. And with me in the room are Suparna Mitra, Vice President, Sales and Marketing of the Watches and Wearables Division; Saumen Bhaumik, Vice President, Sales and Marketing of the Eyewear Division; Dinesh Shetty, Company Secretary; and Pulkit and Govind from the Finance Department. Thank you very much. I guess I introduced Nandu as well. Thank you very much once again. And let me start by refreshing. 3 months back, when we had the quarter one call, we were on a declining performance in the jewelry division in the month of July, and we were looking at a better August and September. And as it turned out, we grew about 15% in retail in Tanishq in August and about 11%, if I correct, for the season in the month of September, and net-net 6%, between 6% and 7% in total retail for Q2, which was, I would say, more or less on plan of that time of the first week of August, I think 2, 3 percentage points below plan, perhaps. And in total, like I said, between 6% and 7% for the jewelry division, which was not in line with the kind of growth that we've seen in the past. The pressure on public sentiment, as well as because of the price of gold, which kept rising, kept consumers away, and the whole of industry, as well as Tanishq, ended up having to rely a lot on consumer promotions to drive traffic to the stores. The watch division was also under pressure, particularly the EBO channels. World of Titan, Fast Track did struggle in the quarter, and the department store channels, typically where you have a much better choice of brands, and even our own Helios did relatively better. The eyewear division did exceptionally well in the quarter in terms of retail growth, as well as the distribution push. The complication in quarter two was, one is our usual difference between the primary sales growth and the retail growth because of the L3 billing that many of you would be familiar with. On top of that, because of our hedge positions, we had to write back about 120 crores of income on account of hedges that matured, and we can speak and clarify to you exactly what happened, what this means down the road when the questioning happens. So because of which, the jewelry division's income actually declined over Q2 of FY19. The season itself was a little mixed. The 33 days leading up to Diwali, which is 28th of September of 2019 till about 31st of October 2019, compared to the same 33-day period, was a growth of 10% for the jewelry business, much better for the watches business relative to Q2 exit, and decent for the eyewear business because it's anyway not a season for that category. So in a way, the pressure on the jewelry industry appears to be continuing, and our assessment is that we have done rather better compared to most of the players in the industry. The total imports into the country declined by 17% in H1 of FY20, compared to that, we were flat on retail and a very small minus on reported company income. So this, along with our actual measurement of competitive performance in many of the cities where we operate, confirms to us that the continuing market share gain of Tanishq brand is going on without any let up. And we were quite satisfied with the initiatives that we had implemented across all the businesses. And from an overall competitive position, we are confident that we have moved further in our strength within each of the industries where we operate. So while the financial performance was, you know, depressed on account of overall pressures of public sentiment and gold rate, we are confident that our position in the categories has become stronger, and therefore from a medium and a long-term point of view, we are very well placed to achieve the goals that we have declared to all of us. So that's broadly the performance and on quarter. The slides, the presentation which has been uploaded, has got the various details relating to the individual businesses as well as the income and the profit picture. The other important achievement is the network expansion in Tanishq. We are likely to exceed the number of stores that we opened in the whole of 2018-19 by December of 19, which is in 9 months. And we are looking like clocking to hit the 60 store mark by end of March 20. So I'll pause here and seek questions from all of you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one now. We have a first question from the line of Avi Mehta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, this was regarding your first comment, Venkat. Just to clarify, you said the 10% growth was in the festive period. Is that what I kind of heard correctly?
Yeah, in the 33 days running up to ending with Diwali this year, Avi.
Okay.
Compared to the same 33 days last year, the growth was 10% for Tanishq.
And given this weakness that you're seeing in the industry, would you like to revisit your target of 20% plus growth in the second half?
Yes.
So is there any revised target, sir, that you would like to share?
We're looking at between 11 and 13% for H2.
Okay, sir. And the second bit, sir, was on the margins. You had a 5% odd adjusted growth. Studded share was higher. There was a 15 crore one-off compensation in the base, and still margins were flattish. Was this only to discounting? Is that how I should understand it?
Yeah, because the income growth was actually, there's a decline in the income. If you see, there's a, one second, I'll just have the slide up. You saw the income. The income. Jewelry. Just 1 second. I just come. So we're talking about a 2% decline in income, Avi, in Q2.
Sir, okay, I'll probably take that later. But okay, if I may, sir, then if you could, OCF is negative. Is this impact because of the changed procurement mix, or is it the timing of the festive period?
Which one?
The operating cash flow for the first half, I can see.
Operating cash flow. Yeah. There are multiple reasons. One is that the price of gold is not its highest as we speak, or around those times. And even though the tonnage that we held was below the budgeted levels, the price was much higher than the budgeted levels, and that was one reason. And the second is that the season this year is about a week to 10 days ahead, and therefore, so Dashara as I said, came in the last 3 days of started in the last 3 days of September, and therefore we had to advance production to be ready for the Diwali season earlier than last year. So both these, the budgeting itself took the second point into account, and the price of gold complicated it and took the total inventory levels higher, and therefore its impact on the operating cash flow.
Okay, sir. Perfect. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for this.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead. Sir, we can't hear you. Mr. Abneesh Roy, sir, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead and ask your question. Thank you. We have next question from the line of Arnab Mitra from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. First question was on the margins. So if you could highlight if there were any kind of significant one-offs in the quarter regarding hedging gains, losses, which impacted the margin. And secondly, this 120 crores, which you are saying is the hedge, this thing, effectively, if the hedges hadn't been there, the revenue would have been higher by that much, but the percentage margins would have largely remained in the same zone. Would that be the right way to look at it?
Yeah. Arnab, that's right. If this hedging loss had not been there, you're right, the revenue would have been higher, but the gross margin overall would not have changed. So the percentage would have marginally changed. You're right. And the other question
and
was?
And any other one-offs, you've highlighted
okay,
something
on
around
the one-off
cost.
On the one-off, there was not much of an impact as far as inventory valuation, etc. was concerned. So on the gross margin side, there was not much of an impact. Okay, we did have some fluctuations during the quarter, but that was within the quarter itself. So the net impact was not much overall. But there were certain things that hit us on the overhead part, particularly on the employee cost, which was the actuarial valuation required for leave pay and gratuity. Now, we took a big hit on that because of the lower interest rates, and that did impact us quite significantly on that employee benefit cost. So that is, in a way, something which is not planned or expected.
And would you be able to quantify approximately how much is the impact of the actuarial impact?
For the quarter, it was 15 crores.
Okay, okay. And just last question was on watches. Now, the growth rate are you seeing that watch business also remaining sluggish during the festive season, which extended into October? Or has there been any kind of recovery there in the festive also there?
No, actually the month of October was very good, and even the whole build-up from Puja to Diwali, the growth figures are very encouraging. So we expect to look at least double-digit kind of growth for the second half.
Okay, okay. Thanks. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Firstly, can you explain this 120 crore hedge impact on the, you know, on the top line? And is it going to get, you know, let's say unwind as we go ahead, or it is a permanent, difference?
No, these are permanent differences. Let me explain how this works.
Sure.
Vivek, if we were to buy gold at, say, 3,500 rupees a gram, okay, at any point in time, we hedge it for, say, the next 5 months or so. Okay, that's the average holding period that we have. Now, 3,500 rupees would give you maybe 3,550 or so as the gold value that you will get at the end of 5 months. Okay? I'm just giving you estimates here. This is for example.
Sure.
Now, if the gold is at during that period, at the time of the sale, which is, say, 2 or 3 months later, goes up to 3,800 rupees, what you receive from the customer is 3,800 rupees. But when the hedge gets over, you have to return back. You'll only get 3,550 effectively. So the 250 rupees of reversal is what this 125 crores where we talked about represents. Okay. Now these are permanent losses. These are not something which gets reversed in the next succeeding quarter. So this is just the hedging part. And if fluctuations of this nature happen. Now, this happens every month But never have we seen this sort of an impact in any quarter, because the sharp increase in gold prices is what led to this. Typically, gold prices go up by a percent or two, and therefore nobody even reports this. But this was really very, very sharp, particularly in the month of September. That month alone, we had something like 112 crores of impact, just in that one month. So this is a result of that, and it, as I said, this will not reverse. But it has no impact on gross margin. That's the point. Okay, this is both my revenue and my costs are lower to the extreme extent. It has no impact on gross margin. My making charges are based on the selling price of gold at that point in time. And typically, therefore, you tend to have a slightly higher gross margin percentage.
Okay, because to the earlier question, you have you mentioned that there is so if I understand correctly, it is EBITDA neutral or EBIT neutral then?
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah.
So if I adjust this number in revenues, then your margins are higher by around 40 basis points. So against 10.9, what you have reported, LFL is 10.5.
You are right. You are right.
I see. Okay. And second is, how big will be exchange in this quarter?
The share of exchange, Vivek?
Yes, sir.
Just one.
Vivek, is the question for the next quarter or what?
For second quarter.
For second quarter. We have for H1 here, Vivek, and I can tell you later on Q2, H1 is 34%.
So gold on exchange in first half is 34%, you're saying?
Yeah.
Isn't it lower than what it used to be, or it would be probably much higher in the last year, right? Around the same time?
No. You may be, because there is also the Tanishq exchange.
No, actually, I'd add both.
We exchange Tanishq jewelry as well, and the gold exchange program, general exchange program as we call it, is the non-Tanishq gold. The 34% is the non-Tanishq gold. 31.5 last year.
Okay, so when you have
said that it crosses 40%,
okay, got it, 40%, okay, perfect. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Amit Sachdev from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. So again, my question again on the exchange program, which was obviously launched when July was bad and this zero cost exchange scheme was launched, which was, I think, resulted in a bit of a good response from customers, and probably the run rate of revenue sort of started rising, and now you obviously rolled back that scheme very, very quickly when the Q3 started. So if my understanding is correct, that this level of scheme which was launched, which was very margin dilutive, and part of the effect we've seen in the quarter as well. And what sort of trade-off that you see? Would you rather maximize revenues and let the margin be slightly hit, or you would rather have margin stable and whatever revenue is a result of it? Under which framework are we really operating as we launch these schemes to sort of generate demand and effectiveness of the scheme in generating demand and the cost attached to it? How should we think about margin in that context, considering the demand remains mixed, is lackluster, as you go into the second half? How we should think about the margin thinking around which the 13% odd you want to achieve as well?
Specifically on the exchange itself, Amit, what we typically do is when we launch it for a 4 or a 6 week period, there is a certain target that the team takes in terms of growth, and the ROI of that particular offer is determined on the basis of that targeted growth, and there is a break-even level of growth at which it makes sense, and beyond that, it's actually beneficial and all that. But what has been the complication in recent times is when the overall sentiment is poor, then customers are not coming into the market, then your calculations go off, and therefore you don't achieve the growth that you started targeting, and therefore your discount as a cost of sales rises, and that's the point that you were implying in that. So that will continue to remain a challenge. When we begin, we will certainly gun for a growth which justifies the cost, But when it ends, and it's not so easy to switch it on and off, you know, in between also, because there's certain momentum to that. So I don't have an immediate answer to the H2 question that you're asking, because currently, you know, given the kind of pressures in the market and the sentiment that we have directly spoken to a lot of our high-value customers and got a sense that a lot of them are deferring purchases and almost conserving money. So in a situation like that, even an attractive offer may not necessarily make them spend that money which they want to conserve. So the sales at whatever cost is certainly not an approach. I mean, just to clarify, it's a very calibrated that the growth should get us some additionally. That's how we would approach it. It may so happen that at the end of the scheme, because of the circumstances, it has not happened. But our a priori would be to actually increase the net margin after the cost of the scheme.
Got it. No, that's very helpful, Venkat. My second bit, Venkat, is that obviously you have looked at international expansion as one of the viable, you know, sort of options as well, and this has been in the past we talked about. But are you looking at a period where Tanishq need to seek other markets as well for expansion? And if yes, are you sort of looking at in a recent future international forays as well? And is there any plans to do so in how you should think about this, and what's the go-to-market approach you're taking for this?
We are certainly looking at, you know, GCC, Amit.
Okay.
And because GCC is a natural place to go where there are lots of NRIs, the Tanishq brand is very well known, we can hit the ground running. But our sense is that the GCC markets are also under some kind of economic pressure. And therefore, we have decided on a very calibrated approach to entry. And therefore, I would say from a couple of year point of view and from a shareholder point of view, it's not a material item either which way. It's only thereafter, both from a, you know, the return on the capital employed there, or the EBIT that market is delivering, will it start making any kind of relevance to the overall, you know, P&L and the balance sheet of the company. But we are going to be entering shortly. It's like, you know, testing the waters kind of approach.
But given that we are doing Carrot Lane as, you know, Omni Play, where there's online presence and offline presence and is a pure studded play largely, so wouldn't it be more viable to enter markets such as the U.S. using the same online, maybe with other e-commerce players or something? Would that market not, given that now distribution is easier, why would not we exploit that sort of channel now, given that it's easier to sell, and if you have the brand and you can easily sort of...
You're very right, Amit. It is just that the concrete plans on that front are not yet in place for me to share, but you're very right that the opportunity for some parts of Tanishq, certainly Mia, and of course Carrot Lane in the US, and we are already a preferred partner with Amazon as a company for the watch business in the US. And therefore, people are at work to take the relevant parts of the Titan Company jewelry business into the U.S. as well. But it's in the early exploratory phase, and therefore, there was nothing concrete that I could share. But you're very right.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. Thanks so much, and all the best for the second half, Venkat.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Nilesh Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. On the gold hedge unwinding part of it, or the booked hedges, will some of it continue into 2Q also, into the second half also?
There would be some impact in October, but I think it's petering out because this is basically a gold that we bought up to June, right, which is getting impacted. Typically, the hedges are for 4 months. So I think it will start falling off from now onwards, yeah.
So
there's some impact in October, but not so much. Yeah.
Okay, so there's 11 to 13% kind of factor, is that also in it?
No, the 11 to 30, because it's complicated to factor it like that. The 11 to 30, I mean, just to go back to the figures that Subbu had given, the 3,800 rupee example. So if it was 3,800 average selling price in quarter 2 FY20, and it was, let's say, 3,500 selling price average Q2 FY19, that difference is that actual growth that the retail team is recording, which is the 7%. But then because of the gold that was bought in May of 2019, hedged then and then matured in September of 2019, we had to reverse that 152 crores. And thereby that 7 gets depressed by 2, 3 or 4 percentage points. So that complication is currently not, because it will materialize only when the on the day the hedges mature us. So it's very difficult to predict that and build it in. Right now this is a retail growth which is without the hedge impact.
Got it, okay. And the second question is on the margins for the jewelry business for the quarter. You know, 10.9%, underlying margins of about 10.4-10.5%. It's down pretty significantly on a YOY basis, adjusted for the one-offs which you had last year. So the question really is that you had 17 crores of inventory gains which you were likely to book this quarter from the prior quarters. You had the customs duty increase and certain bits on account of that also coming through. And I understand that this was offset by increased promotions. So what were the kind of promotions that, you know, I mean, was it as significant to have erased both the 17 crores plus the customs duty hike which you had, plus the fact that the studded jewelry portion was much higher this quarter?
Actually, even the gold rate differences in the market were quite significant. The rate between Tanishq and, you know, some of the other competitors. And therefore, we had to intervene and correct the prices of gold as well. And we had the exchange scheme, which, like I said earlier, was so paying for itself when we began it on the basis of the growth rates that we had targeted. But as a percentage of sales, you know, rose when we ended it because the schemes didn't do as well as, you know, planned. And we also had the bundling offers during the quarter, which so in a way the sales came at a higher cost, okay. And therefore the overall margin was affected by that, despite what you said we were carrying over from Q1.
Could you just help us understand what was the you know, gain on account of the customs duty hike that happened? And some part of it will come through into 3Q also, right, on account of that?
Correct. In fact, a good part of it would come, but, you know, we've also used it sometime to actually deal with this price corrections and all that. So it was not a material item in Q2.
So Q3 will be bigger?
Sorry?
Will
Q3 it's very difficult to predict here because we may end up actually using it to, you know, get sales and all that. So only at the, by the end of the quarter, we will even have an understanding before we decide even to share.
Okay, got it. And last question is, there's an, you know, 19.5 crores of unallocable expense, which is there in the segmental. Subbu, what is that on account of?
No, that will be a corporate expenses, by and large, yeah.
It is
not supposed to be CSR, etc. goes under that. They don't go under the,
they don't go to the divisions. Okay, so there are
certain costs in the corporate sector segment which are retained there, on top of which there are some which are not allocated at all to divisions, like CSR, primarily CSR.
Okay, okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Rakesh Chunjunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Rakesh.
Yeah, Venkat, so now you have had, you said your festive sale was up by 11-13%.
So 10%, right.
And in the second quarter, you have to pass on a lot to the consumer to get the sales. So how was the pricing during the festival season?
How was that during the festival season?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were, you know, sort of, we took some calculated bets on it. And, you know, we were under, having a much better control on that in the 33 days of the season.
The margins, we did not have to make so hard.
Yeah, we didn't have to mark, we didn't have to offer so much of discount for the 33-day 10% growth, like we did in H2.
Like we did in Q2,
I'm sorry. I said H1, H2. What we had to do in Q2, we ended up avoiding in the 33 days of October, the season.
Right. Another thing is that your watch business has done very well in the in Diwali.
Hello? Yeah. Yes, Rakesh.
Right. And this, you know, your capital employed has gone up in the watch business, in the jewelry business. Will that some part of the capital employed be washed down after Diwali?
Sorry, will you just repeat, Rakesh?
The capital employed was higher in both the jewelry and the watch business. Will it come down? Yes,
Rakesh. Yes, Rakesh, it come down, yeah. See, the like I said, the, you know, we had an early start to the season this year, and therefore 30th September capital employed got, you know, budgeted also like that. And unfortunately, because of the gold prices, we had a significant impact on the value of that inventory, and it ballooned even further. But even as we speak, it has come down, and it will continue to go down and get under control in the next 2-3 weeks.
And why was the other income lower in this quarter by about 30 crore? As compared to the first quarter?
Other income was lower because we resorted to borrowing. Yeah. Last quarter also we had a tax refund, income tax refund, and that's basically why. But essentially that the cash, overall average cash balance was much lower.
So that could improve in this quarter when the capital employed reduces.
Yeah, now from this, yeah, I mean from October end, we are positive again. And yeah, we should start seeing higher cash balances.
And so with some of your quarters, this corporate expenses, unallocated is positive. In some quarters,
that could be, no, that could be because of incomes like we just mentioned, right? The income tax refunds and so on and so forth, which have been unplanned.
So no, you take the income tax interestingly. You take very, very...
Yeah, because there was a big refund we got some time back, and that is...
where do you account for your interest income? Do you account for it in the jewelry business?
Interest income comes in the other income, and it's predominantly in the divisions.
So you take the tax approach of divisions and allocate the...
Yeah, exactly. It is based on the cash generated by each of the divisions. So it's almost entirely going to the divisions. Regularly goes to... corporate actually.
And in the consolidated, you have a 23 crore, you have a 31 crore profit in TL and a 10 crore loss in Karat Lane, and this 21 crore loss is in which business?
So
you see your presentation.
Yeah.
You have 31 crore profit in TL in the first half.
Yes, yes.
And 10 crore loss you have in Karat Lane. And 21 crore in other business. What other business is there?
Flag. That is the Pavaluba.
Pavaluba. Another thing I want to ask you, what is the deferred asset you are carrying, your tax asset you are carrying in the balance sheet now? If you go in the 25.14%, you still have a deferred tax benefit?
No, this deferred tax is essentially the one that the adjustment we made also this month was regarding Ind AS 116. You know, we had to capitalize the assets, all the leases. So when we did it, we had to pass an entry for deferred tax asset at the beginning of the year. Now that was based on the old income tax rate. Post that, now with the changes which we have adopted now, which is the 25% tax rate, we had to have a, we changed that, we accounted for that in this quarter. So essentially that deferred tax asset has come down to some extent because of the reduced tax rate.
So ultimately, your tax rate now will be 25%, period.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question pertains to the whole demand environment. So when we started this year, we were very excited about the wedding calendar being very robust. Now that demand is supposed to be non-discretionary and stick in nature. So how is it not participating, or is it yet to come in second half of the year?
See, we have between 5 and 6 engines of growth which we had identified over the last 24 to 30 months. For our 2.5x goal, and each one, you know, fires in a particular way and takes us to a consolidated growth target of the 20% plus. That's how we plan. And wedding is a very important, in fact, a critical one out of them. And wedding itself has done, it has in fact outstripped the 20% growth substantially. But some of the others haven't fired as well, as a result of which, our H1 growth is what it is. So wedding itself has done well, but some of the others haven't done as well.
Sure.
So the non-discretionary part that you're saying is holding, but so we may need to raise the ante in that category, grow even more to compensate for some of these not firing so well.
Hi, this is Ajay here. I would like to supplement what Venkat said about the wedding piece. As he rightly said, we have actually seen a 30%, close to 30% growth in wedding-related category. And the second half of the year actually has good weddings. So starting 1st November, we have actually launched the wedding campaign itself. And it's banking on this that we are hoping that we can try and get to 11 to 13% growth that Venkat spoke about. So there are good dates next few months, and if all goes well, hopefully we should be able to get to our numbers.
Sure. And what will be wedding's total contribution for first half?
The wedding contribution has been close to 22%, pretty much on target of what we wanted.
And sir, one clarification. So this hedging policy that has hurt us this time, the reversal, prior to 2012-13, we did not have this, right? And are we planning to revisit our strategy on this count because this
was volatility? We've been hedging from the time, I think 2004-05 onwards, we've been hedging. So the issue here has been that we have not seen fluctuations of this kind. Okay, that's the, and that was such a short period. And therefore, it would have impacted us had this happened some years back as well.
So there is no reviewing
this policy like the question that you asked. It will continue because we'll continue to hedge. As long as we continue to hedge, and if gold prices fluctuate like this, rise like this, we will continue to have this issue.
Sure. And sir, lastly, the guidance of for second half of 11 to 13%, are we building a revival of demand sentiment or is it based on sentiments as it stands today? And does it also impact, are you seeing this sentiment impacting our outlook on FI beyond 20 also, or does it hurt our visibility of 21 materially?
If you go back to the last 3 months, August we grew 15%, September we grew around 11% without taking the season of 3 days which came into that month into account. The season we have done 10%. So if I look at these three pockets of time in the last 4 months, the 11 to 13 that we are targeting for H2 is not, out of line with that. Because finally, like Ajay said, the wedding dates are certainly, getting better. And we are, obviously using many things in our control to work harder. So therefore, the 11 to 13 is actually based on current and immediate past trends. And we are reasonably confident of achieving that. On your next question of what does it do to the FY21 and thereafter, the jewelry market is a very, very large opportunity for the company. The share of Tanishq is in small single digits. So intrinsically, the opportunity for growth is very much there. And we would like to keep our sights like we visualized 2.5 years back to that big goal in 2023. And therefore, we would like to run for that 20%+ growth in FY21 as well. But for proper form's sake, I would suggest that this question is properly answered by the company in our next call, because all our teams are at work currently building the FY21 plan and strategy, and they are very much seized with this dream as well, that we cannot let these extraneous circumstances contain our thinking and look at the very large opportunity that industry offers, the huge assets and the capability that the company possesses, and therefore we should work on it to actually make it happen. But we will confirm it in the February call.
This is very helpful, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, sir. In the interest of time and fairness to all participants, please restrict questions to two per participant. We have next question from the line of Alok Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to confirm on the store count. So we store count guidance, that was about 60 stores. Is that understanding correct for the full year?
Our current estimate for new Tanishq for FY20 is about 60.
Okay, so that would mean close to about 20% store addition if you know one were to look at half of that, so close to about 9 to 10% revenue growth coming from that, plus about 20% growth in the gold price. So we are looking at a significant lower grammage sale in the second half. Now assuming. Yeah, and your basis that we have, guidance of 11-13%. Now, just to extend Tejas's question, if considering that, this sort of gold prices remains at the same level, and while store expansion can give you revenue, but then, would you then in this circumstances sort of be quite optimistic about the 20% plus growth in the FY21?
It's a very complex, mathematical model that I love to get into to sort of, in a way, counterpoint what you're saying. Because the 20% is the number of stores, first of all. Okay. The per square foot of the current network would far exceed the per square foot of that 20%. And therefore, you cannot take that 20% into the time period that they're available, and therefore so much growth in sales and that kind of stuff. And then the gold rate impact and all that. So the 40 stores that we are, the 60 stores that we are confident of, opening this year will certainly give us a good, building block for the FY21, 20% plus plan, yes. And the gold rate, frankly, I have no idea about how the gold rate will behave in FY21. So at the moment, we have no framework to build for the growth of FY21. Like I said, the teams are at work on that.
Right. And, we would have got some benefit in the margin from the custom duty increase. And as you mentioned previously, large part of it will fall in Q3. But do you think most of that or all of that would get offset against the scheme? Or would you see that translating into better margins in Q3?
It's very difficult to say at the moment because it did not, really translate into margin in Q2. We had to really induce customers to come and buy and ended up investing in a lot of, offers for the customer. So I'll be able to speak on this with any clarity only when the quarter ends.
Yeah, thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had one question on gold exchange. Basically, for a jewelry company, there are two levers for margin. One is the spread on the gold rates. Second is basically the making charges that you make. What are you hearing from the ground or the channel check suggests that more and more people are bringing either bars or coins, or they're buying from physical market where the gold rates are lower than the Tanishq gold rate, and they're exchanging the same when they have to buy jewelry from Tanishq. So have you seen this kind of an increasing share of bars and coin versus what do you call old jewelry?
Not really. I mean, you are obviously pretty clued on to what's happening on the ground, I must say.
Yeah.
Because people have also spotted on. But it's not been a while. There are instances like this and people who are really smart doing it. I'm not recollecting it as a trend. It is the genuine, conversion of old jewelry into fresh new Tanishq jewelry that is happening. By and large, I would say.
Okay. And sir, what has led to relatively better growth in studded? Because studded, the share was around 38% this quarter versus 35% in the base quarter. So what has led to that? Why that has happened? Is it because of the promotion campaign that we have carried out, or what is the reason behind it?
Share of studded.
Yeah, go ahead.
One other thing that we are observing you know, we are seeing a relatively higher slowing down in the lower ticket products. And this, in a way, indicates, you know, middle class coming under pressure, because typically the middle class customers are those who buy products in the lower price points. And in a way, the studded jewelry is a little more aligned to upper middle and upper classes, who are perhaps less affected by this real pressure on cash flows, feeling of not having enough money and therefore the need to tighten belts and stuff like that. So I guess that has an impact on the relatively better desire to buy diamond jewelry versus gold jewelry. And the gold price itself is a bigger deterrent on a pure gold jewelry buyer, a little less a deterrent on a diamond jewelry buyer.
Okay, sir, one last question on Golden Harvest Scheme. So what have been the contribution during this quarter from Golden Harvest Scheme?
Just one second. Can I just come back to you on this?
Yeah, sure. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict questions to two per participant. We have a next question from the line of Amit Purohit from CIMB. Please go ahead. Mr. Amit Purohit from CIMB, sir, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead and ask your question. Sorry, we're not getting your voice. Thank you. We have next question from the line of Amit Sinha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question was on the difference of the gold rate which you spoke about. And I just wanted to understand that, you know, this difference came in primarily because of the fact that others were a little proactive in passing on the custom duty hike benefits compared to you guys, and was it very, very specific to festive season, and are you seeing a similar kind of difference even now?
Actually, this the kind of difference that I have seen in the last 4-5 years now, it is not necessarily influenced by an act like the customs duty change that happened recently. Even in the past, I have seen 150, 175 rupee differences, 200 rupee differences, and there was no, you know, act like the customs duty increase that happened. It's, I think, a lot to do with maybe the supply of smuggled gold at a certain point in the year, and that exacerbates the difference in the supply rates between the white and black channels and all that. And I suppose it got aggravated a little in Q2 of this year because of the customs duty and accumulated stock of various individual jewelers and all that. And therefore, we had to intervene and do what we had to do. But it is looking like it is a bit in the past now, at least for the last few weeks. I have not heard, Ajoy, you can correct me. And certainly we have not heard this in the Diwali season. It's been a reasonably stable period on that front.
All right. So basically, the higher discounts or the lower gold rate which was offered by the competition, was it also impacted by the desperation in the market, and now it is kind of coming off, right? I mean,
it could be many reasons. That was also because the industry, like I was saying, that, you know, we have done much better than the regional players, the national players, to the extent that we can measure. And obviously, everyone is under pressure to that extent. And we have seen instances, particularly in some of the B and C category cities across the country, where some of the local jewelers, you know, sell gold at some 50, 60 rupees below cost. And you wonder how it's possible. I'm talking about at various times during the year. And when you're not doing well, the pressure to grow sales is that much higher. And I'm sure that was also a contributory factor, apart from the opportunity itself they had on account of customs duty.
Got it, sir. Just a follow-up on that. I mean, would you attribute a bit of a miss from your side during the quarter because of this particular factor, at least even for half of the quarter two?
When you say miss, so what exactly do you mean?
No, not miss exactly. So basically, basically from the numbers which we talked about after first quarter, there have been some kind of underperformance from Tanishq. Was it also because of this gold rate difference during the quarter,
not on the sales side, because the gold rate is a daily managed item. And therefore, every day we are in touch with the market and we keep the competitiveness of Tanishq in a way intact on that point. So we didn't lose sales, but the impact on margins. So we, you know, whatever target we had for August and September, and I didn't outline that growth target when we spoke in the first week of August, but whatever internal target that we had for August and September, we more or less met. Maybe we were some 50, 75 crores short, if I remember right. Therefore, the sales targets were met, but they came at a cost.
Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best for second.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Participants, please restrict questions to per participant. We have next question from the line of Nikita Maheshwari from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Richard here. You know, got two questions. One is, and sorry to harp on this again, this is regarding the guidance, change from 20% to 11 to 13. I guess the premise for the 20% growth expectation that was there earlier was basis your own execution and so on and so forth and ability to get sales rather than macro dependence, right? As I guess, you know, from a macro perspective, you would have expected it to have been bad anyway. So I just want to know, what is the difference now in your execution plan between what you expected to happen earlier and what is happening right now that has actually led to this, this change from 20 to 11 to 13? Or is it that this 11 to 13 is just an average of what you saw in August, September, and the 33 days to Diwali? Because if I look at your store growth, even that seems to have been at least, much higher than what you originally envisaged.
Yeah. So, Richard, if I go back to, when we had set out this kind of a CAGR for 5 years, the general sentiment around us was very, very positive. And that certainly helped that the industry was not tanking. You know, it may have been sluggish, it may have been slight low single-digit growth. I'm talking about now FY18, early FY19 and all that. So when the industry is in a small single-digit growth or flat, everything that you do, and there is a certain migration that started happening as a result of a lot of structural changes that happened because of demand, because of the Nirav Modi and all that, the trust factor kicking in favor of Tanishq, we were able to deliver a 20 plus growth rate with a certain set of initiatives, with a certain level of excellence in our execution. But in the first half of this year, as opposed to what we judged on the basis of a lot of research that we did in the January, February of 2019, well, the sentiment was, indicated to be pretty positive from the customers that we researched on. But what is appearing now, 6-7 months later, is that the sentiment is actually worse than what we at that time measured. And because of that, the overall industry, if I were to take like 17% decline in imports, every single, jeweler that we are aware of is talking about a big decline. Vendors are talking about, big drops in supplies. And regional, national jewelers, if I take the regional jewelers, for example, we are talking about between minus 12 and minus 22%, decline in the festive period, as opposed to a plus 10 that we have done. So obviously, the strategies as well as the standards of excellence in our execution are happening in a circumstance which is less in our favor than, let's say, 1 year back. And therefore, we need to sort of go back to the drawing board in some sense, expand the number of weapons that we need to maybe polish more or create afresh. And that would take a little more time than a few months. And therefore, the guidance for H2 is, in a way, not taking that big step out into account. And that's why I said that it is our intent to keep gunning for that 20 plus percent for FY 21 and later, but I will confirm in February. But for the moment, since it can only be a tweaking of, you know, the arsenal that we already have, we are going by the more recent growth performance of the last 3-4 months.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Venkat. And Subodh, two housekeeping questions, if I may. You know, one is I noticed a profit of minority interest of 8 crore, you know, versus a loss that used to be there earlier. If you can help explain this. And second, before the operator cuts me off, is, you know, do you have any Ind AS adjusted comparable numbers for other expenses, depreciation and interest and EBITDA to share?
I think maybe the Ind AS part we can give it separately. Okay, the net impact overall for us on Ind AS is 4 crores. Okay, a dip of 4 crores, so that's not material. But clearly, yes, the EBITDA numbers would look better because rent is lower substantially. Whereas you can see, in fact, if you see the increases in depreciation and finance costs over the last year, you would see quite sizable. And it would almost offset the reduction in the rental costs, which will be part of the other expenses.
But the minority interest part?
On the minority interest, I mean, because it's a loss, it will be a gain here. That's the idea. We booked the entire loss. See, when you do consolidation, you take the full loss of Caratlane. And therefore, you reverse some portion of the loss which is pertaining to the minority shareholder.
No, the minority interest charge led to a lower net profit. So I guess it's a you know, the businesses with minority, which is Caratlane, I think, did they have a profit during the quarter?
No, profit. We did not have a profit during the quarter. We had a loss.
Because control. Minority interest is a reduction from your total PAT.
So let me get back to you on this. Okay.
Sure, sir. Yeah, sure.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Chanchal Khandelwal from Beulah Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Coming back to the guidance and the store opening, you have done 21 store opening in the first half, and you are guiding for 60 stores. And also, if I look at number of cities, most of the stores have been opened in the number in the newer cities. I'm just trying to understand the top 8 metros or the bigger chunk of the jewelry demand would be in the bigger cities. Is it that we are only focusing on the franchise run business model that we are going to tier 2, tier 3 cities? Or am I missing something here?
Actually, the distribution expansion takes into account the current level of distribution in every city that we are in, the opportunity for expansion in the cities that we are already in, and the opportunity for expansion in those cities that we are not in. So we are now a 20, you know, nearly a 25-year-old brand, and we have reached reasonably high levels of presence and in some cases even saturation in some of the big cities. And therefore, our distribution expansion in the FY23 timeframe is substantially middle India focused. Now that's why you are seeing that. And the franchise or company is not leading this thrust. What is leading this thrust is actually the distribution opportunity. And depending on the town, depending on the you know, catchment, we decide whether it should be a company store, a management agent store, or a franchisee store. So that's the clarification.
That question on the company store, franchise store is okay, but coming back to this point, the throughput in a top 8 or top 10 cities would be much, much higher. And all the 21 stores, throughput, the sales per store, won't it be much, much higher in a top 10 cities?
Yeah.
All the 21 stores have been opened in a newer city, so I'm just trying to understand why.
No, not all of them, but many of them, yes. That's because, for example, I mean, just to illustrate, if I take a Delhi NCR, we've got something like 21 or 24 stores in Delhi NCR. So while each one of them is substantially bigger in terms of throughput than, let's say, a Jorhat or a Karnal, but a Karnal store in a town where in Karnal, if there is no store, you know, the incremental revenue is that, you know, is incremental. Whereas in Delhi, I would end up cannibalizing and there is no room in Delhi anymore like that. So that was the general point I was making, that the room for expansion now for Tanishq is substantially more in towns where we are not present rather than in towns where we are present.
Yeah. But just to clarify, this is Ajay here. We have opened a few stores in the existing metros. So Bombay, Bangalore, and even a few more are also there in the pipeline, but a bulk of them, as Venkat said, is really
like out of 60, I presume maybe 40 maybe in new towns, and at best many, at least, and at best 20 maybe in the towns where we exist.
Just to submit, so in next 3-4 years, we have ample opportunity to ramp up these 50-60 stores every year. You must have done that work by FY23 when you are giving a target. And
yep.
Sticking to that target, so that opportunity still exists, right?
Very, very large, yes, yes. And in a way, it's independent of this consumer sentiment pressure that we are facing in existing, geographies. With this is greenfield, we can hit the ground running, and in fact all the stores are performing to plan. That's the other good aspect of it. The new stores I'm talking about.
Sure, sir. Thanks. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir. We have the last question from the line of Manoj Bajpai from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question was on the some of the channel sales push you have been able to get through the HDFC Bank co-brand, the cards which had a cashback up to 10,000, and the second one about the new launch about Virasat. So how these things have panned out in this quarter, they had led to some incremental sales, and if yes, do you think that this will continue in the next quarter as well, these kind of push for additional sales?
This is Ajay here. Yes, these are good tactical opportunities that we keep exploring from time to time. And HDFC Bank credit card, because they have a large base, actually works out well. We saw good response to these offers during the quarter that went by and also during the festive season. So we will continue to exploit and explore such opportunities as they come along. They are useful.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now have...
Sorry. I just had one comment before we close.
Yes.
Two comments. One is thank you very much for the participation and the continuous encouragement that all of you give the Titan company management and everything that we are pursuing to do. And I would like to close this call by calling to attention one of our colleagues, Rani Talati, is retiring from the company end of this year, 31st of December 2019. And I would like to place on record the exceptional contribution that he has made to the company. He has been with the company for 33 years and has played the pivotal role in building India's most iconic and sexy youth brand, which is Fast Track. And for the last 4 years now, been at the helm of running the jewelry, the eyewear business, and establishing benchmark standards in everything that the business is doing. And I take this opportunity to lay down the appreciation from Titan Company to Ronnie for everything that he has done. Wish him all the very best. And thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.